Can you let me know if you can't read that?
The next slide. You should be able to read that. Well, what we're going to be chatting about is hard conversations and how to have them. Well, no, sorry. Conversations, what am I talking about? Conversations that leaders need to have and how to have them. One of them is a hard conversation. The other ones are not so difficult. Well, they're still difficult, but not necessarily hard. Before I do that, I thought it would be helpful to talk about, we kind of touched on this before, what we're praying to see. We're praying to see a flight of... We're praying to see a flood of jobs done across the Illawarra. That's our prayer every day, is that jobs will just be done. We just want tasks completed, things ticked off. That's the big goal of Soul Church. disciples, really, yeah, obviously. But that's a difference. I think a lot of the ways we run teams and the way that we do things, it's the priority can be seen to be just getting things done. But it's not. It's not. We're praying to see disciples being made.
Hey, we have fruit for you.
Oh, well, this is going to be the good answer. We're praying to see a flight of disciples. That's going to change how you lead your team. Because while we're praying to see a flight of disciples, that is people coming to Salt and hearing the gospel and being changed and being saved and following Jesus. So that means we want to do our ministries well, because that helps to see that goal. But also, we touched on this before, but the people in our teams, we want to be seeing them grow as disciples too. So we want to be seeing people in our teams be growing in how they follow Jesus as well. And so it's not just about ticking things off. If it was about ticking things off, then you just have a team of people, you send them stuff to do, they do it. And if they don't do it, you get cross. But it's more than that. It's about, we want to be helping the people that we're leading, or the people that we're in a team with, to be growing as disciples. Does that make sense? So, three conversations. Our focus is on people, not on tasks. So our focus is on people, not on tasks. We want tasks done. We still want things to happen around the place. But that's not the ultimate priority. The ultimate priority is not just getting things done. It's going to be the people in our team. So that means we care about the people more than we care about the thing being done. Yet we still want the thing to be done at the same time. It's a close second. Yep. So three conversations for leaders that I want to chat about this morning. And if you have questions, we'll have time for asking questions, and we'll try and make it a little bit interactive as well. So that'll be helpful too. So three conversations. Do you want to join my team? This is like kind of the first conversation. Helping people join your team and join your team well. Second thing is, can we meet up regularly? So meeting up one-on-one and as part of a team. That's going to be a helpful thing, because that's really a great way. You've got to take the lens cap off. Ellen. meeting up one-on-one and meeting as a team together is a really great way to be helping grow people as disciples. And the third thing is, can we talk about something? So if things aren't going well in your team... Oh, sorry, it's not coming up. There we go. Can we... I've been a slide behind, haven't I, the whole time? Sorry. Can we talk about this? This probably happen if you're leading a team. There's someone in your team, they're not quite fulfilling the responsibility, not sure how to chat to them about it, or what to do about it. So that it'd be good to meet up and talk about that as well. So there are three conversations, and we'll go through them one at a time. So the first conversation, do you want to join my team? So a couple of things I think that's helpful to be doing here. Where are we? So you might have people in your team already, You might be having a new team and you wanted to get people into your team. The nature of Wollongong, people move in and out of Wollongong a fair bit, so teams often change. So this is a conversation you might have to have on a semi-regular basis, inviting people into your team depending on how big your team is. And you really want to get this conversation right, because when you don't get this conversation right, it makes all the other conversations hard. So you really want to, and it's important for them that you do this well. So I think it's worth spending some time on. So when you chatting to someone, you might have someone in mind that you want to join your team, and whether they think they might be a really great fit for your team, or you think they're kind of already doing the job already and you want to help grow them, include them in your team, chat to them about it. And the first thing I would do is remind them of the cause, what we're on about. At Soul Church, we're praying to see a flood of disciples of Jesus across the Illawarra. We want to see lots of people come to know Him. I think that's a really helpful place to start. And then help them see how this role contributes to it. And so for example, if you're inviting someone to join the food team, you lead the food team, and you want people to join the food team, you say, we want to see a flood of disciples of Jesus across the Illawarra. This is a really exciting thing that we want to be seeing. We want to see people come to know Jesus. And food on a Sunday night really helps with that. We want food to be good so that relationships happen, and we want to have a break so people can chat. And if the food's good, people are more likely to... It feels like a nice place, like a good environment, a good vibe. So see what I'm doing there? You talk about the big picture and you're seeing how what we're doing, our team, plays into this whole thing. It's not just... We just really love food, so bring some food. It's actually what we're doing as a team plays into the big cause. And if what you're doing as a team doesn't play into the big cause, drop it. Kill your team, do something else. Because there's everything I think we do. The cleaning team, the sound team, all the teams in their own way are working towards this. And so that's a helpful thing to remind people of. And it helps them see why you're doing what you're doing, why you're doing what you're doing is important. Be clear in what you're inviting people to. So we want to do food, and so what we'd love for you to join the food team. This is a really important role, and we would love you to join our team and help with this. It's going to look like this, this, and this. So for the food team, it might be every 4 weeks you're on the team with three other people, and between the four of you, you're bringing food. You're going to get there half an hour early. Chat with people if you meet them. Afterwards, it's going to be like you're kind of talking about the requirements. And so, I reckon it's helpful if you don't have one already. It's helpful to have a position description written about what you're inviting people into. What is the role? And have it written out. Even if it's just a couple of dot points, that's a really helpful thing to do. Two ideas about that if you don't have one already. You could write one yourself, just sit down and think about what are the expectations that you have for people. What does it look like to be part of the team? Or you could get the people in your team, if you already have a team. You're about to invite some people into the food team, but before you do that, you talk to the existing food team and get them to write the position description together. Hey, I'm going to invite some people in to join our team. What do you think? What is it we're inviting people to do? What does it look like to be part of the team? What are the expectations that we have for us, for each other? What do you reckon? And that helps do two things. It helps them think through what they're doing and to evaluate it. It also helps you see if there's a gap there. If they include two things and you go, well, there's a couple of other things you haven't thought of, it gives you an opportunity then to talk about actually these things as well. This is being part of this team includes these guys as well. So that would be a helpful thing. So position description gives you something clear to chat to people about when you're inviting people into your team. And so I think if you haven't got one already, that would be a worthwhile thing to put a little bit of time into writing, and it makes it clear. I think, just an aside there, if you have expectations for somebody, it's only fair that they know what those expectations are. It's unfair to assume expectations on someone and then get cross when they don't meet them, because that's your fault. You didn't make it clear what you wanted them to do. So make it clear. don't undersell it. So what I mean by that is, even though it's tempting, don't undersell the position, what you're asking them to do. Why might that be tempting, do you reckon?
Because if you're asking, they'll say no.
They might say no.
Not that great a job, or come clean the toilets. You might undersell that one.
Yeah.
Or offering rewards as well, food, just take 10 minutes, set you busy.
It won't take that long, it's not that big a deal, Yes. So then, underselling, there's a lot of temptation there, but what's the danger then if you do undersell it and they join your team?
The expectation.
Lowers expectation, yep.
And then you move to the communal levels.
Yep.
They get frustrated,
they get a rude shock when suddenly they find out it takes longer than what you told them to. And you were trying to be nice and soften it. It's not just 10 minutes. It's actually an hour beforehand or whatever. And you can kind of, the temptation is, I just want them in my team, I really need them. But actually they haven't, it's unfair for them because they've joined, you haven't really been clear about what the expectation is. And you're suddenly changing it on them. They're going to get frustrated. So I think even though it's hard, I think be upfront with the expectation. This is what it looks like. We'd love you to be on board. It's going to require this, this, this. Because then when they join, they'll join knowing and they're committing to those things. And it's hard to hold someone to a commitment if they haven't agreed to it. The other thing I do, the last thing, this is hard as well, is ask them to think and pray about the commitment and then come back to them later. So, again, the temptation can be, do you want to join my team? It's going to be really good, what do you reckon? And then you try and hype it up and then get an answer out of them there and there. But we want people to join well, and so give them a week or a couple of days or something to think about it, to pray about it, and then call them up or touch base with them and see if they're on board. Because again, you might not undersell it, you might not be explicit about it, but you haven't really given them time to think about what that actually looks like for them, or they'll actually have time in their week or their month to commit to it. And so you're going to then have problems down the track. So give them a bit of time to think about it, and that's good for them. It shows that you care about them as well, which I hope is true. It'd be good to maybe role play a little bit. A good example and a bad example. I've done this a little bit, but we'll role play. You guys might have other suggestions as well. How to do this too. So happy to hear those. But I'm gonna ask someone to join my new food team. Someone wanna be in my team? It's not a real team, guys.
Okay,
Adam.
Adam?
Yes. Alright, John, you can just sit there if you want, that's fine. I'll leave those up so you can kind of look at it. We'll do the good one first, and then we'll do the bad. So, Adam, how are you doing?
Thanks.
Good? Yeah, good. Good. I like your jacket. I like to buff them up a little bit first.
The one on the belt.
No. So Adam, we're praying to see if the disciples from Jesus across the Uruguay. This is, anyway, we've heard this 100 times, but this is what we're excited about, seeing people come to know Jesus and be saved. We've got this food team, and we're looking for a couple of people to join the team. One of the exciting things about food is on a Sunday, really, food is like the lubrication of good relationships almost. Like, if there's good food there, people are chatting much more open. And we'd love a couple more people to join the food team. And I reckon you make a really good addition to our team. I think I know you a little bit, and I know you love food, you love cooking food. and you love eating food, and we'd really love for you to be part of that and to help see more people come to know Jesus through doing food well on a Sunday. What it looks like, we've got a roster with four teams, and so it looked like every fourth week, coming, preparing some food at home. Home-cooked food is the best if you can do that. But chat with the people on your team, prepare the food beforehand, get here about half an hour early, and then it takes probably about half an hour to damp afterwards and that kind of thing. And we have one or two meetings a term as a team together to think how we can do things better and those sorts of things. But that's kind of what we'd love for you to do. We'd love for you to be helping with that, and it's really important. We'd really love for you to be part of the team and help us do that. It's probably about 4 or 5 hours, probably 4 hours a month. Do you want to think about that?
I'd love to think about that.
Is that something you'd be interested in doing?
I think so, yeah.
Have a chat to your family, Nicole, and see if that's something you guys can do. I know you guys are busy. And if you say yes, we'd love for you to do it, but actually think about if you can say yes first. So maybe you can touch base after that. But have a think about it, pray about it, see if that's something you can do. Cool. Is that, I don't know. Does that feel awkward?
No.
Do you want to join the team?
Oh, well, I like food.
Anything I could have done better? I'm not ready. So any suggestions, thoughts?
He's saying I know you're busy underselling.
What do you think? Yeah.
I think it's being realistic. Where you're at and what like expectations you're getting into serving to. I can see you say that, but I also think there's a need to be honest with the person.
Yeah, empathy. Yeah. Yeah, I think it acknowledges. No. And if you don't know, then you're
working.
But even then, most people would still think they're busy.
Yeah.
Everyone feels time poor, no matter if they are. Yeah.
I think a strategy you have.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you were relational in that.
Okay, relational. No. Yes.
We know each other and we're
interested in this. Yeah. Something. Yeah. And I think that's important because I haven't put this on there, but when someone's thinking about joining a team, one of their questions is the leader going to care for me? And so I try to. Yeah, I didn't put that on there, but yeah. I tried to show that I already care for Adam and that joining my team, we're going to look out for each other. So I only did that a little bit, but that's a question that's on the back of someone's mind is, before I join the team, are they going to look after me? Am I going to, am I going to get trodden on? So, yeah, so being relational helps with that.
Another thing I might do is, after I've sort of explained the position description, I might say, does that kind of make sense? Because in my mind,
yes,
it makes sense, but I may not have said everything.
Yeah.
So maybe say, did I, like,
do you have any questions about that? Yeah.
And like, that probably comes as well in the next conversation. Do you have any questions? But yeah, even like on the spot, then like, did that make sense? Is it, does it sound good?
Yeah, that's a good point.
And like, I can send you this description of what might look like, you know, look at it later.
Yeah. And I would do that. On Thursday, I had this conversation. And I said, I'll flick an email with the stuff that we can chat about. Because otherwise, I'd rather three or four things off in that conversation and I get what they
want.
Yeah. I think one thing
is
sort of one step forward is to be on your own team, is to think through where the current is sitting, to think through their commitments they've currently got. But also to think how other teams approach them. The last thing you want is to walk up to someone and go, would you like to join the food team? After someone's already said, do you want to join the music team? Do you want to join the sound team? That person should get overwhelmed.
You can ask them that.
Well, yeah, I said that
would
be a question.
I had three teams in that
role. Yeah.
To do something.
Yeah. How'd that make you feel, Hannah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted to make excuses.
Yes. Do you feel pressured to say yes to all of it? Or?
No, but I think that's because of my personality.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, that's fine.
Yeah, if you get a yes person, then you sort of just, not intentionally, but potentially adding things to the
list. Yeah. And that could be the follow-up conversation. If they say yes, you go, okay, are you on, are you, like, how is that going to work with the other ministries or work or whatever? And they say, well, I'm on 16 other teams, but I can still do them all. And you say, maybe not. Maybe you need to leave all those teams. Join mine. We didn't want the best in my team. That's worth. And the problem is, I think it's worth knowing that you might have to ask to get that information. And that's worth asking that. As you ask people to join your team, what else they're doing. And if it is a higher level role that you're asking them to do, it could mean stepping out of other positions as well. And that's a conversation they could have. Very quickly, running out of time. Bad example. I'll try and do this. But Adam, how are you going?
Good, thank you.
I like your jacket.
Oh, you do.
Look, Adam, I'd really love your help. We've got a food team going. We really need a lot more people. Would you like to join my team? Like, we do food on a Sunday, it's maybe once a month or so. It's not that big a deal, but we'd really love you to join our team. We really need some help with that. Do you want to, what do you reckon? Cool. This Sunday.
Sorry, I had a choice.
So a couple of things there. I think it was, you're putting pressure on them to say yes there. You're not explaining what the role is or how it fits into the bigger purpose. I wasn't particularly clear. And I made it like they were doing me a favour. I think that's the big one. And that's an unhelpful start to the relationship, because it's not about me getting favours from people and then when those favours run out, my team disappears. Like, it's because Adam cares about the vision, about the cause. It's not because of me that he's... That might be part of it, and I want him to... We want to have a good relationship, but I don't want him to say yes because of me. It's not... I don't want him to think it's my team and I need help and come and... Does that make sense? Yeah. It's hard to do that, and that can be the thing, is to fall into relying on... asking people to join your team or to do you a favour, but I think the more helpful thing is to help them see how being on your team is going to help reach more people or grow disciples, that kind of thing. So they're committing to that, not to you. Yep.
Is that a thought about, like, thinking about people's heart as well, and coming to a ministry or stuff? Heart looking is, like, in a conversation. Like, is that something you feel like convicted that you would like to do, or do you get what I mean? Kind of seeing their heart to actually be part of these ministry, if they're how important that is, or is it just important? Could you say it's disciples, it's not task?
Yeah, but at the same time, you need the task done. So we still need food done.
Yeah.
We actually need a cool team that hangs out together and eats food together,
yeah.
And then no one actually brings food on Sunday. So you need both,
yeah.
And I think that's right. I think that can grow people in their conviction of what they're doing can happen over time as well.
In the team,
as you're doing it together, it's a discipling relationship, and that'll come up in the next one actually. So any questions about that so far? Good, cool. Conversation two. Can we meet up regularly? So, Dan's mentioned, well, I think Graham mentioned this, but firstly, I'd recommend meeting with your whole team. So, if it's, again, the food team example, at 6 p.m., get all the 6 p.m. crew guys together or the host guys together. If it's a sound team, get all the sound guys together. It's up to you to work out how often that is. Once a term. If there's lots going on, you can do it once a month. I'm in teams that we meet every week. There's lots of things to talk through and things happening. But I think once a month is a good, depending on the team size, once a month or once every 2 months would be good. So that's really helpful. And Dan's elective, I think they're recording it. Worth having a listen to that. His elective is about teams, meeting together with your team, what to do in that, how to do that, what that looks like. So have a listen to his elective. We chatted a little bit about it, and I think that would be a helpful thing for what that actually looks like to grow a team, not just having names on a roster just turning up. So, but more than just meeting as a team, I think it's good to meet one-on-one with the people in your team. Again, frequency might vary. Depends how busy you are and how busy they are in the team. It might be once a term. You try to meet with everyone in the group once a term. Again, there's people in my team that I meet with one-on-one once a week. So we meet together as a team every few weeks, and then I meet on the off weeks. I meet with the individuals one-on-one. There's a couple of reasons I reckon it's good to meet one-on-one with people. It helps you to love them and to care for them when you're meeting one-on-one with someone. You can do that a little bit when you're meeting as a whole team, but really you really grow relationships one-on-one. It could be a one-hour catch-up you do together at a cafe. Some of the guys on my team are pretty busy and they drive to work. So we, on the way to work, we have half an hour conversation while they're driving in the car, and we talk about stuff while they're in the car. So it kind of depends on who's... But yeah, I think whatever you're doing, it helps love them and care for them. You get to listen to how they're doing in a two-way thing. We'll talk about that in a minute too. But it's an opportunity for you to be loving them and getting to know them. It also helps lead them, so that you're able to give input into what they're doing, what they're thinking, help them think through issues and come up with solutions and follow that up and help them to be growing in that. And the third thing is it helps to train them. So you want to be thinking the people in your team, I think we want to be training our people. And so there might be people in your team that you think could replace you. And that's always a good thing to be doing, is thinking to try and make yourself redundant and having you raise people up to do your role, because you won't be around here forever either, so good to be doing that. Helping people, give them a bit of insight into some of the decisions you're making and why that is. Bit of training there as well. And when you meet, it'd be great to listen and ask questions. What I do is, if you're meeting for an hour with someone, give them maybe for the first 10 minutes or so, just get to know each other a little bit more, chat about things, ask them how family's going or how uni's going or whatever, things in there, if they've just moved house, chat about that kind of stuff, because it's relational and you actually care about the answer. But then I'd split the remaining time in half. And half of that time I'd give to them. And they can ask whatever they want or talk about whatever they want in that time. Because it's not just my meeting, it's our meeting together, the two of us. And so I'd ask, Cole, what's the most important thing to talk about now? What do you want to talk about? And just wait. And see what they come up with. It could be anything. It could be something that's not that important, but for them it is important. Or it could be something urgent that you hadn't thought of, or whatever it is. It's giving them opportunity to chat through whatever it is on their mind in the team that you'd like, they'd like to talk about. If they don't have anything to talk about, or if you say, what do you want to chat about? And they say, I don't know. I've got nothing. You can kind of ask a couple of probing questions. Graham's 80-20 thing before. Okay, well, what do you reckon? If we were to do one thing to have the biggest impact, and change, the biggest positive change what we do, what do you think that one thing could be? You know, get them to think about that. Or, yeah, ask them how they're feeling about something, or get them kind of drawing out things. I think that's important. So that, again, that helps to love them, and it helps lead them as well. I'd ask lots of questions. And if they talk about something, I would be... I'd ask questions to draw out the reasons why that's something that they're struggling with, and I'd be slow to suggest answers. I'd try and help them come up with the answers. What do you reckon you could do about that? Or what's something that... Is there something that your mum might be doing to help make that a bigger problem? Or ask questions to help. Not just hear them say something and go, oh, look, I reckon you should do this. And then, but it's actually, they'll move a lot better if you help draw it out there. So that's going to be a good thing to do. And then the second half of that is, so the first half of that time is them chatting about things, whatever they want to talk about. The second half of that would be you talking about the thing that you want to talk about. So that could be feedback on how they what they're doing. I think that's it's really helpful to be giving good and regular feedback. That can seem like a daunting thing, or people don't want to hear my feedback or anything like that. But here's a quick question. Which of you here wants to know if you're doing a good job or not at something? Is that right? Like, if you're doing a good job or not, you want to know, you know, you genuinely want to know. But as the person giving the feedback, you can kind of think, oh, I don't know if they want to hear this. But actually, people generally want to hear how they're going. And because what they're doing plays such an important role in seeing a flight of disciples, they want to know how they're going with that. So if it's someone on the music team, say, hey, it's been really great you being part of our team, you know, and coming along, knowing the songs beforehand, that's been really helpful. And some of the contributions you've been making during practice have been really good. So I just want to say, that's, you know, keep it up. That's really been really, really helpful. And really helped us as a band to whatever. Or you can give constructive feedback and say, have you thought about this? Or I think that's a helpful thing to do as well. The other thing you can do is follow up. Commitments to something. So if someone during a big meeting says that they're going to do something, you can follow that up and ask how they're going. If someone says, yeah, I'll do this, you say, great, when do you reckon you can have that done by? Because I think there's a tendency in Christian ministry, teams and things, for people not to be held accountable to the things that they said they'll do. We just want to be nice, and if you get to it, that'd be great. If you can't do it, let me know and I'll do it. Because I don't actually think you can do it. And I don't trust you with that responsibility, and you're not actually good enough to do it. And I know you're going to fail anyway. And so, look, it's going to happen, so I'll just... I'm ready for it. I'll catch it. But at least we'll pretend that you'll do it. And then when you don't, I'll do it anyway, and it's fine. that can be the Well, that can be that's not what you're communicating, but that can be ended up being the culture. If someone takes responsibility, but then they never well, you follow them up, but then not really, and they say, oh yeah, I'll do this by, and you say, okay, when do you want to have it done by? And they say, we'll chat about this in the third one, but they'll say, oh, 2 weeks time. And you say, okay, cool, awesome. So 2 weeks fine, you'll be able to, you'll have done so-and-so, yeah? And they say, oh, actually, maybe 3 weeks. Yeah, okay, no worries. 3 weeks time. So if I'll check back in 3 weeks time, you have done that thing, yeah? And they say, yeah, cool, that'd be really good. That's what it's like. And then 3 weeks time, you check it out and I've done it. And you say, that's really good. Thank you so much. Or, not actually, she can say thank you, because it's not doing it for me. But you say, that's really great, that really helps our team. And if they don't do it, then you can have a conversation. Oh, it's really... You said you'd do it, that's really unfortunate that you weren't able to.
When do you think you'd be able to do it? We can have a bit of a follow-up conversation.
But that's the we'll talk about a little bit more about that in the third one. But I think if someone commits to something, ask them when they can do it by. That's going to be a helpful thing. And then follow up. So any one-on-ones, you might follow up. How'd you go with that thing? Do you have any questions about it, or how'd it go? And you can give them some thoughts, or you can give them some encouraging feedback on that. And I think you need to meet regularly. Part of the reason you need to be meeting regularly with people is that so you can talk through issues when they arise, and it's not just you talking to people when there's something wrong. Does that make sense? You don't want to be the only time you ever go to someone one-on-one is when there's an issue that you're rousing on them for. It's actually, you've got a good relationship because you meet up and you regularly do this. And sometimes it's really good, sometimes there's things to talk through, but you need to have that kind of practice set in place. Because you're a team and you're helping them, training them up, and you want to love them and you want to lead them. And that means that if things aren't going right, you can have number three conversation in a context where you've had lots of these positive conversations. Yep. Any questions, any thoughts on some of that? Yeah, Jeff.
It sounds like this is quite relational.
Mm.
Is that a consequence of them being volunteers? That there's no consequence of them saying, I'm not going to do it.
There's no management authority figure, that you
would find in a workplace, but because it's all volunteers, it's like, they can't get fired from the team. God fires. Well, is
there any kind of connection, or has a relationship to the team? It is very relational. Maybe that just reflects perhaps the way I lead teams. I don't know, and there's probably other people that do it differently, but I find it happens best in relationships because you genuinely care about the thing being done and you care about the person. It means it's going to be relational, because those two things, having a good relationship helps make a more productive team. Part of it is you're leading volunteers, but at the same time, if someone in the team isn't helping the team, I think I'd help them leave the team. We'll chat about that. That's the third one. But, does that answer the question?
Yeah.
Sort of? Yeah. Adam?
I think this works easier and not as easy for some, depending on the ministry you're in.
Yeah, sure. But
for me,
what's your ministry?
Look after the maintenance team.
Yeah, maintenance
team. So the guys that would help fix things meetings or whatever. So like to meet one-on-one regularly, to have meetings, and it just seems like a bit of a foreign concept.
Yeah.
I can definitely see how it's great to be relational and build a team and build those relationships and stuff like that. But how that works, how often will that be helpful or hindering
people? Yeah, and you don't want to waste people's time.
Yeah, that's right.
Because they are volunteering, they do have busy things going on, they've got a life, and so you don't want to take away from that. But at the same time, the maintenance team, we're going to fall over if the maintenance team isn't doing their thing. You guys are hugely valuable and important, and we're not going to see a flight of disciples unless you guys do the things you need to do as a team. Does that make sense? Sorry? Something happens. The
collapse.
Like that, I've thought a couple of times. If that bar holding the projector falls down, that's four or five people dead. My ratios. I'm pretty confident in you guys, though. Like, it looks pretty steady. But I think, so yes, you might not need to. Daddy? Did he? Oh, that's good enough. I would suggest on the maintenance team, meeting weekly, probably not needed.
Yeah.
Monthly, still maybe too often.
Yeah.
I reckon, once a term. If you're meeting as a team, once a term. Mm. And when you meet together, you look at the Bible together, you remind each other what you're doing, you help them, you talk about, hey, what can we be doing better? This is Dan's kind of stuff still, but what can we be doing better as a team? How can we be chatting through that? You help them see the what they're doing is really important and really valuable. So you do that once every couple months, every 3 months. And then on the off months, you try and meet with the five guys in your team so that you're meeting with them. They're meeting together as a team once every 3 months and you meeting one-on-one once every 3 months. And you get to have the same kind of conversations. How are you going being part of the maintenance team? Or because otherwise you don't find out about things until it's a big problem and they leave, or something happens, or there's a frustration. The light bulbs, we don't have enough light bulbs. Every time I go to change the light bulbs, there aren't any left. So-and-so is meant to be the one ordering it, but they're not doing it. And you don't find out for 6 months, and there's bitterness. And does that make sense? So there's value there, I think, in just from a pragmatic point of view, meeting regularly. When I say regularly, I just mean on a scheduled basis, so every 3 months. But also, for them, you want to see them grow as disciples, and so you want to help them in all areas of their life. And you want them to be helping each other to be growing as a disciple.
Yeah, I guess meeting together fuels each other, like,
yeah,
growing with each other.
Yeah, and it's not just me turning up to do some light bulbs or whatever when they need to be done. I'm part of something bigger. I'm part of this team, and we have each other's back, and we do this together, and it's fun. I don't know.
Yeah.
And when I say, and when you have a meeting as a team, you could, hey, let's all get pizza and chat about stuff. It doesn't have to be sitting here in a circle in this building. It could be at your house or somewhere else. Like, it doesn't have to feel like a team. You don't have to. It doesn't have to feel like a meeting. You might not even call a meeting. Every 3 months, it'd be great for us to get dinner together, chat about how a maintenance team's going. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think people, once you start doing it, people will like it. Yeah.
One thing I just thought of is that there's a common interest in where you serve. So, like, for me, in the music team, like, I like music and I listen to music, and so that I can easily have a relationship and talk to people around music and how we can use that.
Yeah.
And even with the maintenance, have a project once a year.
That's a good idea.
You help each other out, you go out and you solve.
Yeah.
So it's like that common interest you can use as a part of the meetup.
Yeah, let's all come and build this thing together. Whatever. Yeah, this thing does. But yeah, that's a good idea. And people, yeah, you, a lot of the time, if it's a food team, they'll like cooking together, so you could, you could be creative about it. That's a good idea. Yeah. It'd be, should we role play this one? Anyone want to, Dan? That's the closest to putting your hand up. Alright, let's say, Dan, you're on my sound team. On the sound desk. And we're catching up. Hey, Dan, how's work going, Alec? What's, been, had a good, you know, things alright? Yeah. Alright, let's talk about this for another 10 minutes and then last words. I think that's a helpful, I don't know, I shouldn't have talked about Dan's work. I don't know enough about your work. Whatever it is, it's in the context of relationships, so I think that's a helpful thing. Part of the sound, you're part of the sound desk, part of the sound team, what's the thing? I'll give you some context. Say there's, I'll just ask. You can comment something, or you just say nothing. What's the one thing you want to chat about? I don't know, is there anything you particularly want to talk through?
Getting some new gear. Obviously, this works because of people. It's a new microphone.
That'd
be good.
Yeah, so why is that the most important thing, do you reckon?
Because this is actually true.
Yep.
So this is what I'm saying. You know this. They're not the signals not getting to where they need to properly, and it's cutting out and failing.
Mm. Yeah. And how do you feel about that? Like, how's that?
It's annoying.
You feel annoyed?
I think the congregation feels annoyed because they can't hear the people.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think that's the thing we need to fix.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you reckon we do?
Tell Richard.
Say that to me.
He is Richard.
You're Richard.
I'm Richard. I'm today.
I think we need to get some new gear.
Yeah. Okay. What would be the next? What do you reckon? How do we go about it? I don't know. Like, what do you want to? What kind of?
Let's do some research.
Like, just microphones, or is it just the microphones that you're frustrated with, or is it
it's the radio connection?
Radio.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it sounds like you're saying we just need
the new components. Yeah.
Okay.
Because the gear's old.
Yeah.
So we need to look at what's a good price range that we can accept.
Okay. Cool. Any thoughts on how... What would you like to do? Is there anything you'd like to do for...
Not really.
No? No? Okay. Well, we'll just leave it there. It's fine.
Cool.
How about... Would you have time to look into some options on replacing that? Yeah?
I'll do the research and send you through some options.
Yeah, maybe two or three options, different prices.
Yeah.
Which one of those you reckon is going to be the best one? When do you reckon we should do that? Try?
Okay.
Some of that
tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
So tomorrow you're going to... Hold on. If think about the other stuff you've got on.
Tomorrow's the best time I'm
going to do it. Okay, so you are going to do it tomorrow. So
I'm not actually doing this.
Yes, you are.
No.
That sounds good. That's fine. We're role playing. It's a safe space. Okay, cool. That'd be really helpful. Well, how about look, tomorrow is okay. How about you bring to that next team meeting,
okay,
and we can chat through some of the options and see what gets the input of some of the other guys and. Cool. Well, I wanted to chat about the batteries. A couple of times when you're on sound the next day, or the next team comes in and all the batteries are dead, and someone's had to run up to the shops to buy batteries. So just remember to replace the... After you've used the mic, to put the batteries back in the thing. It's pretty annoying as well. Is that something you feel like you could do as well?
Yeah.
So there's no real template for how you have that conversation. I don't know. What did I do badly? I feel like I didn't do a great job there.
I'm sorry.
No, it's too real. It was
just a moment.
It was a real example, though. That's good. I didn't expect that.
I think you had some idea of where I wanted to begin with. Like,
yeah.
Dan's angle was, this is a non-problem. Yeah.
And if I am actually leading the team,
yeah,
you drop
like, you're not sort of like sitting in your own.
Yeah. And chances are there will be a ball rolling when you're going or something. Yeah. Maybe not. It wouldn't be the first time maybe it would be the first time, depending on what the issue is.
Dan's just scared
to me. So that would be, I think, you want to know what's happening in your team so you don't get those kind of surprises. Other things that could be done better?
Maybe the last bit about the feedback.
Mm.
Ask them how can you do this.
Yeah.
So it might be just that they need to listen and say, these are the five steps.
Yeah. Yes.
What do you need from me?
That's a good point. And I think it probably flows into the next one as well a little bit. That's a good suggestion there. Yeah. So how can I help you do that? Yeah. But really, what you're trying to do is give them time to air stuff and talk things through. because the you could see there was a frustration there. although it was very well role played. If that had built up over a couple more months, and Dan may not be the person that would just come to me and talk about stuff. And so giving an opportunity to talk about it means that we can work it through together. And it's not just me necessarily saying, oh, can you do it all? He might say, no, I don't have a chance. And I say, okay, well, I can do that. But it's giving opportunity to... And I think asking questions is helpful. I could have, and I was tempted when he said, oh, this is the thing, the receiver. And I said, oh, yeah, that's annoying. Blah, 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 blah. And then I just start talking for 5 minutes. But I think it's helpful to draw out a bit of the emotion there, what's going on, what are you actually thinking. And some of that kind of stuff as well. So, yeah.
And also relational stuff.
Yeah, again, it's relational. Yeah. And again, I could have been tempted to say, I could reckon you could get that done by tomorrow. But you having, working out the commitment, and then me holding you to that commitment. So, yeah. Any other questions? Yeah.
With the whole following thing,
yeah. How do you make it that you don't become the culture that people are always relying on you for, like that instead of you, like, you're trying to follow up to people who have a calendar, but then people are relying on you to follow up, which means you're using a lot of your time towards following up. Yes.
Instead of them just taking the
issue
to do
things. Yes. I think it depends of when they're next doing it. If they're going to do it, if our next catch up is in 2 months' time, and you say, I'll have that by next week, and you say, sweet, can you just send me an email with what I'm looking for? Yeah. I think if you can coincide with the next time you catch up one to one, that's fine. But if you want to get done before then, yes, I think that's fair. You don't want to just don't want them to just rely on you to prompt them.
So is that in the language that you use to, rather than saying I'm checking in next week, saying send it to me?
It depends on what the thing is. Some of it you might want to talk about it with them. They're coming with a decision. Well, let's chat about it in a week's time and see what we want to do. Some of it is, no worries, can you do that by next week? It's the maintenance team, the light bulbs. Can you do the change the light bulbs the next week? Let me know how you go. And that's kind of delegation and territory. You do the job, feed back to me after you've done it. Or you work out what you want to do and talk to me and work that together, and then you do it, or then I do it, or there's all these kind of delegation stuff we can chat about that another time, I feel like. But yeah, that's a good point. Yep. Third question. Can we talk about such and such? So this is if someone's not performing, not meeting their responsibilities, their expectations. A couple of things that I would do here. I would schedule a face-to-face meeting if there's something particularly that you want to talk about. Partly so that they can't stab you, but partly because... Actually, no, it's true. Yes. Maybe meet in a public place. Let's meet in this busy cafe. I think face-to-face, not email, not phone call, I think because you potentially... It's a difficult conversation. I think body language makes up a huge chunk of what we communicate, and so that's really helpful to read from them and to communicate to them. I think it's just easier. Beforehand, work out what the outcome is of the meeting that you want to achieve. What's the outcome that you want? So if someone's dropped the ball a couple of times, what do you want them to do about it? What's the outcome? Is it them realise what the problem is and then next time not drop the ball, or is it for them to realise they've overcommitted themselves and they need to leave the team, whatever. What do you want to see happen? Then what I'd do is help them see that they haven't met the responsibility. So I'd refer back to the position description that they agreed to and point out they haven't been meeting the expectations. And we'll chat about how you do that in a minute, but I think it's through questions. So you're helping to draw it out in them. You don't just want to tell them
you haven't done what you said to do.
It's you're going to get a much better outcome if you help them get to that realization themselves. Because if you just tell them, they're not really listening. But if they come to that decision themselves, I think you get a much better outcome in them, and they're much more willing to make a change. This is something else I do. This is the relational thing as well. Ask them genuinely what's going on. Like, is this what's happening? Like, is there something going on for you? Things a bit hard at home, or like, yeah. And I genuinely, you want to know the answer because you care about them as part of your team. And then I'd ask what they want to do moving forward. What are we going to do to fix this situation? What do you want to do? And then I would schedule a follow-up meeting in X weeks to chat about it again, to see how they're going. So you can see this is kind of a situation where there might be someone in your team who's not turning up to things when they're meant to be helping out. Or they're not, in some way they're not meeting expectation. And I think you could chat to them about it the first time and say, hey, we really missed you, what happened? But then eventually you want to have this kind of conversation and help them see that it's a problem. Let's work out what to do moving forward. So I'll give you we'll do a little bit of a role play. Say there's someone on. I think before I do that, it's a good thing to be. The temptation is to be nice to people, to be nice, not offend people, or not rock the boat too much. But that's actually unhelpful. We want to be firm at times as well, and. When you're just nice, you can be tempted to give them excuses that they can then use back at you, downplay the responsibilities, show that what they're doing isn't actually a bigger deal, because you didn't turn up, but we sorted it out, it's fine. And suddenly you're undermining the whole team. The whole point of the team is suddenly questioned, because why are you even doing what we're doing if I don't need to turn up at all? So you want to be, I think, you want to be friendly and kind, but firm at the same time. It's a big deal if someone just doesn't turn up for something. Like, for example, just a role play. We had the food team. Someone who was meant to be on food didn't turn up on Sunday, and we didn't have any food. Does that kind of feel? You feel that? Someone to be the food person. James, you want to be on the food team?
Right.
Yep. Okay. So James. Tell us kind of what happened on Sunday. What happened?
I thought Adam joined the team, so I thought he was going to do the job. Okay. So I just left it.
Did you? I don't know. Do you feel that you did what was expected of you as part of the food team?
I assume it would be okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you talk to Adam before?
No.
Okay. Okay. So you just you knew Adam was joining the team, and assumed
he had.
Okay. Yeah. Sure. Can you see what the problem was, though, on Sunday?
Yeah, there's no food.
Yeah. Do you think, is that a problem? Why is that a problem?
Oh, well, part of the ministry and part of the religion is that, you know, what they do is to protect the community.
Yeah.
Yeah. No food.
Yeah.
It's a problem.
Yeah. So, yeah. So what do you want to, moving forward, what do you want to do?
So, in the face and make sure I know exactly what's going on. Yeah.
Yeah. can see how it happened. It was an easy miscommunication. Yeah, but yeah, definitely, that's the important thing. If you just check beforehand, don't just assume, rather check someone's actually going to replace you. But yeah, so the, how about we meet up again in a month's time after you get on the thing or whatever it is? Cool. Does that make sense? Yeah, a couple of things. I know we'll finish it. A couple of things though. I didn't give him an excuse. I could have said, yeah, it wasn't good that you didn't turn up on Sunday. Did you have something on, or did you just forget? Or, and he goes, yeah. You go, oh, okay, well, yeah, okay, I get it. That sucked. But try to do it again, but actually help him draw it out. And I really want to help him see the problem before moving on. So if he hadn't said it was a problem, and he said, no, it wasn't my fault, I would have pushed a little bit harder. I want to help him see that the problem is that it's not good in his way, really. Or at least part of his way. Does that make sense? And that seems harsh. That seems really unfair. But what that communicates to the rest of the food team is what you're doing is really important. What you're doing is really important because we have food, and if you don't do it, you don't have food, and the whole thing falls over. So you're a real, and I probably should have said this, it's actually really valuable when you do bring the food day. So that's really, really great. Does that make sense? Kind of affirming their role in the team. You're helping them see their responsibility they have and you help them meet that responsibility. And not just taking away the responsibility when they don't meet it and say, oh, it's okay, it was a problem, I filled in anyway, I went to the shops, got some bickies, and it was fine. We don't actually need you on the team. Or you can see how that could, you can just kind of get that thing. It could be the point where he says, just work's been really busy, got family stuff, and I say, okay, well, the expectations that I've talked about is these things. It sounds like you're not able to meet that. What do you want to do? And he says, oh, I don't know. And he's probably thinking at that point, you'll say, oh, just do what you can. But I think the helpful thing is to wait for them to say, maybe I can't be on the team. And you say, maybe you can't be on the team. Maybe it means leaving the team until for a couple months until things settle down. Because I think, in some ways, the person who doesn't turn up has already left your team in some ways. And it's actually... So I think there are times when you will need to ask someone to leave the team. I probably wouldn't do it then with James. Like, if that was the first time, if that happened a couple more times. But you get to the point where they realise they can't meet the expectation and they're the ones that leave the team out of their decision. Does that make sense? You don't give them excuses for why they should stay and be half in the team. The better thing for the team is for them to leave and then maybe come back later, but commit to those expectations.
Alright, it looks like we're about to have lunch, so I'll finish up, but just a couple of quick things before I do. Firstly, be praying. It's God that grows people. He's the one that's going to bring about change in people's hearts and minds, and we want to be relying on Him. Don't want to think that it's all about us and us being awesome leaders. So be praying, relying on God. So keep doing that. Be praying, particularly as you meet up before having a conversation with someone. Be praying that you'd be doing that well. Be patient with people as well. This takes time. It takes time for people to change. And particularly people have busy lives. So they may not have as much time to do things. And so just let them, in some ways, pick the pace in which some of the things they do. Before they agree to something, make sure that they're going to have time to be able to do it. And, just be patient. Be patient. Don't expect things to happen straight away. But at the same time, if someone says they're going to do something, it's fair enough to hold them to that. Thirdly, give people responsibility over something and that they're passionate about, and they'll flourish. I reckon that's pretty true. Don't just give people a checklist. If you find people that are passionate about something, give them responsibility over that whole thing, and it's going to go heaps well. So food, don't just say make food. Here's the things to do. Give them responsibility over the whole thing. They may even come up with ways of doing things that you never thought of. And people actually really like that. There's things, if they're passionate about something, they'll love having responsibility over it, not just doing a small bit of it. And you'll see the whole thing starts to be done a lot better. So don't be afraid to give people responsibility for it. And lastly, talk to your leader. Keep chatting with your leader. Hopefully you've all got a leader helping you with this. So chat to them if you have any questions. Hopefully they're able to help you with this as well. If you have issues, chat with them about it, or you can chat to me, or chat with each other about how to be doing this better. Two quick things, two quick books. Fierce Conversations by, here it is, Susan Scott. This book's really helpful. It talks about how to have genuine, real conversations with people, particularly in the secular world, in the workforce and things, but helpful for a church context too. And I've a couple of things that we talked about today came from this book. It was really helpful. So Fierce Conversations, worth a look. And this is the other book I definitely recommend. This is Wisdom in Leadership by Craig Hamilton. It's a very thick book, as you can see, but really good. Lots of great short chapters, really, really great wisdom here on what it means to be a Christian leader. And this guy is a minister in a church in Sydney. It's written this book. It's really good. We're hopefully going to have it on the bookstore soon. You can also get it as an ebook, I think, and things as well. So definitely worth getting this, and read half the chapters. You're going to learn a lot. So definitely recommend that. But otherwise, that's it. Sorry I went over time, but enjoy your lunch, and hopefully this is helpful in thinking about the conversations you're going to have with your team moving forward. Cool. Thanks.